Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply free at last. Free at last. If you ask 10 different people to define freedom, you'll get 10 different responses because there are so many different types. We've got religious freedom, and we've got freedom of speech, and we have freedom of expression, and the United States is considered to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. Yes, my friends, we've got several different definitions for the term and the word, but what does freedom mean to you? You know, in this spiritual life, in this Christian life, freedom also has a relevance. In John 8:36, the Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make us free, we shall be free indeed." Then we discover in John 8:32 that we'll know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Yes, my friends, we've got an opportunity to experience and enjoy complete and total freedom. Freedom in every aspect of our lives, and there's a way for us to receive it in this Christian life. Can we outline them in just four key elements found in our free acronym? The four key components that are going to help us master the art of freedom every time. That F reminds us to focus fervently. Remember in Philippians 3:13, Paul said that this one thing I do. What's the one thing that you do, my friends? We also discover in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that we should be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, my friends, we should have the capacity to focus. Michelangelo was a great painter, and he's known for painting the Sistine Chapel. It took him 4 years to complete it, and he painted it on his back. Mozart composed over 600 works. He only started doing it for 17 years. And in 17 years, he died at 35. He composed over 600 works. Thomas Edison created almost 1,100 inventions. I ask my friends and neighbors, with the time we have allotted, how are we focusing? Are we spending our time on the internet and browsing and searching and doing things that don't really matter in the grand scheme? Or are we focusing on what God called us to do? I always say, if we want to focus better, we can do these three things. First, we can master the art of isolation. You see, we can concentrate best when we're all alone. Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in an isolated place. He also did it in Mark 1:35. The Bible says that he went to a solitary place and there he prayed. What is your place of isolation? Then there is designation. This is when you just go to one particular place and you get the job done. So isolation is the art of spending some time all by yourself, away from the crowd, away from the people, just by yourself, learning more about you. Then designation says, this is the place I'm going to go every time. Moses had a mountaintop. Where is your designated place? Then there's dedication. It's a commitment not to leave until the job or the mission is accomplished. Remember when they were praying for Peter in Acts chapter 12, and they were at Mary's house, and they prayed there the whole night until Peter was released? Yes, my friends and neighbors, where is your place? Do you have a place like Martha's house? My friends, I challenge you to increase that level of focus. That R reminds us to recover rapidly. Things happen. Challenges come. Problems abound, but that does not mean that we should wallow. The Bible says that a just man falls seven times and rises up again. And that's in Proverbs 24:16. In Psalms 37:24, the Bible says that though he fall, talking about the righteous, he will not be utterly cast down. Why? Because the Lord upholds him with his hands. Are you recovering rapidly? The Bible says in Psalm 91:7, 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it won't come near us. How quickly are you getting up? Don't allow defeat and failure to dominate your mind, because that's the only place that they take place. When perceived setbacks occur, get over them quickly. Remember when Paul and Silas went to prison in Acts chapter 16, and it seemed like things were rough, but they prayed and sang praises unto God. They recovered rapidly. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and he told the man that was hanging next to him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." He recovered rapidly. He was betrayed and yet recovered rapidly. He said, "Forgive if you've got anything against anybody." In other words, recover rapidly. The quicker we recover, the stronger we become. That E in our free acronym reminds us to expect excellence. You see, we have the big God, the God of the universe. His Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. Why should we expect anything less than excellence? The Bible says in Daniel 6:3 that Daniel was preferred above the president and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. The Colossians 3:23 says, whatever we do, we should do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. In everything we do, we should expect the best. Remember Ephesians 3:20 that tells us God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I say, my friends and neighbors, that we should never have low expectations, that we should never have no expectations, but that we should only have glow expectations. That's when we expect to gain, to lead, to overcome, and to win. That's when we see the light shining in us, my friends and neighbors, because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Don't get down in the dumps. Expect to overcome. Expect to win. Expect to advance. Yes, my friends, that's how we obtain true freedom. Can I tell you that last Eve tells us about the importance to embrace everyone? Yes, my friends, we live in a society where people are vilified, where people are often condemned, but that's not what God called us to do. He doesn't want us to live in jealousy or judgment. He doesn't want us to criticize or complain or condemn. He was criticized himself because in Matthew 11:19, the Bible says that he came eating and drinking and they called him a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But yes, my friends and neighbors, we should, like Jesus, embrace everyone. Remember, he had a good relationship. A great friendship with Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out 7 devils in Luke 8:2. But then in John 20:18, the Bible says that it was Mary Magdalene who told the disciples that she had seen the Lord after he was resurrected from the dead. They don't have to look like you in order for you to appreciate them. They don't even have to believe like you in order for us to love them. We love apple trees, peach trees, and cherry trees, and pecan trees. Even though they look different, we embrace them for their differences. Our differences don't make us better or worse. They just make us. Wrap your arms around somebody and tell them that you love them. Receive them like the prodigal son was received by his father. And that's how we become free at last. I mean, my friends, that's all the time of yours I'm going to take today. Until we talk again on tomorrow, God bless you. God bless your family. And embrace the new and improving you.